Ravens just wrapped up another day of training camp practice. John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson. It's just a matter of when the doctors are going to clear him and when he's going to feel good enough, but says they're getting closer. With that, let's talk to our friend Rita Hubbard. She joins us every Tuesday. And Rita, thank you as always for joining us. So any concern about Lamar Jackson, who has yet to practice at training camp?
I mean, obviously, you know, it's the beginning of training camp, so it's a conversation. But I think at this point, aren't we used to Lamar just having some type of ailment or illness? Mm-hmm. It feels like a yearly occurrence.
I said that once to Jason, and he got mad at me years ago that he seems to be sick all the time. Jason,
I mean,
are you buying in now, Jason?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's cool. Look, it's every year he's sick, and it is what it is, right? Some people got bad stomachs. I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm just making a point. Like, sometimes it'd be like that, you know? Or sometimes, you know, you just, maybe you ate something and didn't sit right with you. I don't know, but.
That was the Aloysius angle on that.
Bad Mexican food.
Bad Mexican
food,
yes.
That's what Dr. J.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we got to stop eating this food at the gas station. I know we like certain places, you know, I ain't gonna say no names because I don't know if they sponsors. I'm just saying that sometimes
we have sponsors on this show, Rita, so you don't have to worry about that.
Now why would you lie like that? Now, we got to be careful about some of the food that we eating at these gas stations. That sometimes it don't be good. It be just stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And they got us jacked up. You know, Lamar, he comes from a place where, you know, down in the South, the gas station food really do be good though, mm-hmm. down there. However, you know, they didn't add a whole bunch of stuff to it, whether it's a whole bunch of salt, a whole bunch of sugar. I don't know. So sometimes, you know, it just we got to lay back on the gas station food. So I don't know if that's what's wrong with them all. Obviously, I just made that up, but it is important for us to say we got to do better in terms of the things that we eat. And I say that to say, I hope Lamar's okay. I hope he's doing well. And hopefully, you know, we see him back on the field soon.
Eddie Jackson, this do anything for you? You excited?
Yeah, so we had Alex Brown, Glenn and I, on the show on Sunday. Former Chicago Bear. He actually does the color for them mm-hmm. now. And, you know, he spoke so highly about Eddie Jackson. And one of the things that – there were two things that he said that made sense to me, which was – one, he felt like a big part of what his career, because, you know, if you look at his career, he's had early accomplishments, mm-hmm. you know, early on in his career. But one, injuries kind of derailed that for him in terms of consistency. And then two, that he low-key put the Bears to blame for him, for where his career went. Because it's in layman's term, he basically said they were putting around peg in a square hole,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that was you know, the issue. So basically, he's saying that coaches kind of was forcing him to be put in a position and play a style of play that essentially didn't benefit his skill set. And so I think one of the things that I like about this is that when you look at his skill set, it is best suited for what Geno did here in Baltimore. He's not a strong linebacker. He's more like He's more like a free safety. And, you know, I think that when you put him in that predicament, he's probably going to thrive. And he believed that a lot of his injuries was due to him being put out of position. So if you put him in a position of what he's used to and how he knows how to play, mm-hmm. I think that reaps a ton of benefits for not only him, but for the Ravens as well.
Do you want to see EDC make another move? Would you like to see him bring some pass rush in? Or are you happy now that Jackson's here and content to get ready?
No, I think that, look, somebody got to step up. I understand that between the Owe and the Jabo, and this is no disrespect to Owe in terms of, like, last year he played well. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sit here and say he didn't, but
right.
from a pass rushing perspective, which is what people are looking for from him, he has not, you know, captivated that yet. And so, and we don't know what a job always is. We know what he did in college, but he's been essentially hurt his entire NFL career. So, yeah, you need to find somebody else, because as much as we like Kyle Van Noy, I know I do, I love him, he's a vet. He's been in this league for quite some time. And – you know, injuries do happen, and I'm not trying to speak any of that into existence, but it's a grueling sport. It's a long season. And at the end of the day, when you have a guy, an older guy, and then a younger guy that can't stay healthy, and then another guy that we have no idea how he's going to play, then to me, that's a recipe for disaster. You're going to have to add some depth, whether you like it or not. Now, who is that based on who's left? I mean, you know, hey, what a pickings is slim, right? But you do need to find a way to probably add another pass rush to this team.
1 week from now, Rita, when we talk to you, we will be just about running out of time at the MLB trade deadline.
Yep.
It'll be
buddy.
Get in now or shut your ass till November and you can do something else. What do we think? Do we think they're going big? Do we think they're going medium? Do we think they're going schmedium?
I would be pleasantly surprised if they go big.
Me too.
I am expecting them to go medium, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so Glenn and I had this conversation, right, on the show on Sunday, and he's like, what if they don't, you know, get a Scooble, but they bring back Flaherty? And if y'all want to piss me off, tell me that Jack Flaherty is coming back. If you want to upset me, then just say that and see what my reaction is for that, because I ain't forgot, and the North remembers how he played here last year, and literally, you know, he is some world star dude in Detroit now. It really irritates me how well he's playing, considering how bad that trade was in the grand scheme of things. But ultimately, I would be surprised if they go up, and I go back and forth about this. About in terms of, like, do I want them to do? And ultimately, y'all, 41 years is a really long time to go without a World Series. And so I think, you know, a lot of people want them to make a big move. But I think that we have to be prepared for, if that move is going to be a big one, who they are going to have to give up for that. And if you're comfortable with that, and it's even if it's one of your guys, right, then, you know, hey, it's okay. But I don't know, guys. I just feel like it's going to be like a medium type of move, not a big bang. I just don't see it.
We're talking to Rita Hubbard. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. I do want to read you what Jeff Passan wrote today. And Jeff Passan, MLB insider for ESPN, and he put out his piece of who's all in, who's all out. He's got the Orioles threading the needle. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but he says, adding and subtracting with a chance to do something historic. He says, in part, they're more patient than Blockbuster, though, and they land here due to their willingness to discuss moving veteran first baseman Ryan Mountcastle or center fielder Cedric Mullins. He says, maybe do something big. Maybe they go small and bet on their talent, but it's possible to do something historic. What do you think of that?
I mean, to me, that's word salad. It's small or it's historic. Well, which one is it going to be, Jeff? Yeah. I mean, like, let us know what you know. Stop giving us these little hints. What did they tell you? Did they tell you? Because then, like, you know, it's funny because Mountcastle was trending on Twitter this morning, and I was like, why is he trending? I thought, you know, I was like, maybe he was up for trade, and then I saw that, like, people are like, he's not being traded, right? Mm. So I'm like, okay, well, who gave him? First of all, why are we having that conversation? But now I see, cause I didn't see that Jeff Passan tweet, so now I see why I guess he was trending. But listen, I love Ryan Mountcastle. I love Cedric Mullins. I love those guys dearly. If you need to move them to get what you need to get, then that's what you're going to have to do. You got Ryan O'Hearn that can play first base. You can bring up a Mayo that can play in the infield if you need to make some shifts around. You can move around the outfield a little bit. And listen, Cedric, to me, is, from a defensive standpoint, is high-quality talent and would absolutely be missed. But the way that he's played offensively this year, I feel like, you know, you could potentially make that. You can take that risk on losing a guy like him. And I hate saying that because I love him, but look, the game is the game, right? But ultimately, if it's those two guys, then you probably got to add in maybe another, you know, so a minor leaguer to add to a package. I'm sorry. Hey, we'll ship you the ring if they win. You get one anyway. You was on the roster. So nice knowing you.
Well, it does feel like as much as they have put off some of these huge macro level decisions, the likes of which we're talking about, like, there are so many redundancies here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Kowser and Mullins is redundant. Like, the way they're both hitting or really not hitting, right? Like, or not hitting consistently. Like, that's a bit of a redundancy. Like, Coby Mayo, if he was up here, and Ryan Mountcastle, especially if Mayo can't stick at third, that would prove to be very quickly, I think, a right-handed hitting redundancy. And I think we all want to see more Heston Kjerstad, but he still can't really get in the mix to some degree as well. So if you move a veteran outfielder out, that might make it a little easier for him to play with more regularity.
Exactly. There's that part of it. And you know, I do try to give Colton a little bit of leeway because, you know, this is his first full major league, you know, year that he's playing in. And he's going to have that. Cedric is, I think, a different story because I don't think we understand what's happening with him because, you know, he's essentially a vet at this point, right? And so what is it about him that he's struggling like this, you know, and how much are you willing to allow this to happen before you say, I have to make a move, I have to do what's best for the organization as a whole?
Rita, when are you and Glenn on again?
Tonight, 6:30. It looks like we're going to have Kadri Ishmael on, and we're also going to have Jeff Zerbeck on. So I guess we'll be talking a lot of Orioles, too, of course. So just tune in, and, you know, we're going to have some fun.
All right, Rita. Thanks,
good.
As always. Thank you. We'll chat next week.
Guys.
Thanks. That's Rita Hubbard. We talk with her every Tuesday. Coming up next are Twib Notes, and Jason did a deep dive as we head toward
Baseball America.
Yeah,
did a deep dive.
You dove into their dive.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fair, right?
That's totally fair.
Yeah. Recent history, trading top 100 prospects, top 50 prospects, top 10 prospects. How many have been dealt in deadline deals? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.